This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Here's a familiar storyline in a police procedural. Officer goes undercover, befriends folks, infiltrates a group, and in some cases gets the right person, in other cases maybe not. Now, think about exactly that happening, but all online, through social media. Observation, surveillance, undercover friending, tracking. Those are some of the options that the Boston Police Department is pursuing with a $1.4 million investment it wants to make in social media monitoring software. The BPD says it's an essential modern policing tool to protect Boston from threats. Critics, including the ACLU, have said that monitoring social media accounts threatens civil rights and liberties and says that the software could target minorities and have a chilling effect on free speech. Now, we've reached out to the Boston Police Department, but no one from BPD could join us on the air. However, the Arlington Police Department has adopted a social media monitoring system called Social Sentinel, and Arlington Police Chief Fred Ryan joins us now in the studio. Chief Ryan, welcome to Radio Boston.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. Also with us today is Cade Crockford. She's Director of the Technology for Liberty Program at the ACLU of Massachusetts. Cade, welcome back to the show.
Thanks.
Now, Chief Ryan, just to make it explicitly clear, I understand you, of course, can't comment on anything that the Boston Police Department itself is choosing to do. But what we wanted, why we're glad that you could join us today, is to just walk us through some of the reasonings and some of the software that Arlington is using. When did it adopt its Social Sentinel software?
Right. So this becomes a function of public policy and the decision amongst our municipality as to whether we should have situational awareness as to what's occurring out there in social media in our jurisdiction. There's no question that social media has become the conduit of conversation. And it's our position that it would be irresponsible not to have some software program to enable us to be situationally aware of the conversation that's occurring in publicly facing social media posts in our jurisdiction, to keep our schools safe, to prevent the lone actor gunmen. We've seen what's happened in schools across the country. And so it becomes a policy decision around, should we have a software program to enable us to do that? And then once we make the decision that we think that that's a responsible policy decision, to go out into the marketplace and acquire a software to
enable. But you have this software.
We have.
And when did you acquire it?
So we're in our second year with a company known as Social Sentinel. Uh-huh. Which is really the next generation social media. It's very important to make the distinction between social media monitoring and social media alert systems. And so, Social Sentinel is the latter. It is an alert system. It's essentially a virtual burglar alarm. So if there is harmful language being communicated out via numerous social media platforms, we will get an alarm. And it comes, via texts and emails and so forth, so that we can go out and mitigate. And in some instances, it's around self-harm. We can prevent people experiencing suicidal ideations.
Okay, so I'm going to come back to you in just a moment. But Cade Crockford from the Massachusetts ACLU, let me get your first reaction here. As Chief Ryan and other members of law enforcement have said, our online lives are as much of a part of our real lives as anything anymore, so why not have law enforcement tools apply there?
Sure. It's apples to oranges, though, to compare what the chief has just described, this system, to what the Boston Police Department intends to purchase. The BPD intends to spend as much as $1.4 million buying a social media software monitoring program that enables all sorts of kinds of things that are quite different from what the chief just described, including, as you mentioned, developing and maintaining multiple online covert profiles so that law enforcement officials can entrap people maybe online into illegal activity or something like that, as well as the ability to download dossiers on individuals across social media platforms automatically. So in other words, to pull from your Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Snapchat, everything into one dossier so that an official can just pop it open in the morning and see everything that you did yesterday.
All right,
maybe
so I just want to
everywhere you went yesterday.
I just want to jump in here just for a second because let's break it down into little pieces. I mean, first of all, react specifically to what Chief Ryan says that they are using in Arlington, sort of like a burglar alert system was the analogy that he used. Certain language phrases are used that would attract the attention of police, of law enforcement in Arlington. The ACLU has no problem with that?
I would need to learn more about the details of how the system works in Arlington and what kinds of keywords they're looking for and things like that in order to be able to comment definitively on whether or not we have a problem with it. But I can say for sure that the chief's presence here is in stark contrast to the Boston Police Department's refusal to speak to the public, to the press, about what they intend to do. There was a city council hearing on December 5th at which members of the Boston Police Department's Fusion Center spoke to city councilors who had raised concerns about this program. And despite the Boston Police Department's pledge to be transparent in its process around acquiring this surveillance technology, they refused to provide any information to the councilors.
Okay, so there would be a long-running battle between civil libertarians and law enforcement over transparency. I will note that. But listeners, I also want to hear from you. What do you think about police, law enforcement in Boston or any city using software to monitor social media, conversations, your profiles online as a means to do modern-day policing, modern-day law enforcement? Does that make you feel safer? Does it seem like an infringement on your civil liberties? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also send us a tweet over social media. We're at Radio Boston. It is a way that we all communicate with each other. Chief Ryan, again, help me walk through some of the specifics. I know we're going to have a little tug of war here between Cade's concerns about Boston, and which is different from what you're doing in Arlington. I just want to acknowledge that. But I'd love to get more operational specifics from you, as much as you can give. Like, when you say you're looking for keywords, I mean, do you ever get concerned that the software might end up gathering keywords and people that are just natural language or things that look suspicious but aren't, because it's just kind of the way kids talk, for example?
Right, right. And so Social Sentinel uses behavioral linguists to populate the key phrases and key searches. But I'll talk about that. But I have to respond to, Cabe mentioned, inflammatory words like entrapment. Okay. This is publicly facing social media posts.
Well, I think she was referring
there's no expectation of privacy.
But I think she was referring to the things that Boston is hoping to do and other cities have done, which is come up with fictional profiles, then friend people, which could lead to entrapment.
In the public domain, in publicly facing social media posts. And so, we need to be clear about the expectation
of
privacy.
If someone has a private account and friends someone, that allows them into the account, which then isn't necessarily publicly facing.
And that's an investigative strategy that goes on without social media monitoring or alert systems anyways. So that's an investigative strategy that's long been used by law enforcement.
So you don't see that as entrapment?
No.
Okay, well, then let me get Cade's response to that.
I mean, I think that when people, for example, encounter a beautiful woman on Twitter, right, they don't assume that there's a law enforcement official hiding behind that beautiful woman, right? Nobody knows you're a dog on the internet is an old joke, but law enforcement really, I think, can take it to an extreme in a way that's quite dangerous in terms of freedom of speech and freedom of association. And, obviously we would have to pick a specific example of a case in which these kinds of powers were used inappropriately. But I have one, not about the entrapment case, but for example, law enforcement often says we need this kind of technology so that we can keep track of gangs and gang members. Well, what is a gang member? In many cities in the United States, including in Boston, you can be designated as a gang member simply because of where you live and who you know, not because you have been accused of any violence, not because you have been convicted of any violence. And so that obviously impacts young men of color in our communities in Dorchester and Mattapan and Roxbury, basically affects no one else. And in New York City, the New York City Police Department and the prosecutor's office there used a young man named Jelani Henry's Facebook profile simply based off of his likes and images on the internet, and because of that, charged him with conspiracy to murder someone.
Right. I'm seeing, for example, vis-a-vis those kind of cases in New York, there was a quote from Matt Mitchell, who's a researcher at a group called Crypto Harlem. They're a racial justice organization. They were concerned that, he says, that if you're black or brown, your social media content could become a virtual prison pipeline, you know, concerned about cases like this.
That's exactly right. Can I just finish the story
about
Jelani? He was in Rikers jail for nearly 2 years, 9 months of which he spent in solitary confinement. Ultimately, he fought it and the charges were dismissed. He was released from prison. But that's absolutely outrageous. And it wouldn't have happened if law enforcement didn't think that, you know, young black men in photographs with people who have been accused of crimes are somehow guilty.
Well, Chief Ryan, do you want to respond to that?
Well, you know, again, the Social Sentinel platform that I'm talking about is colorblind. It's a computer software program that algorithms search keywords and key phrases and alert the law enforcement agency that has jurisdiction over where the harmful language is being perpetrated. And, you know, for example, I could tweet the word kill. You know, I'd kill for a cup of coffee right now. Mm-hmm. That's not going to come up on our alert system. But the words before and after the word kill, as examined by our software, may indicate a potential threat. And we'd be notified that, you know, somebody is intending to do some harm. And I applaud what the Boston PD is doing. I think their failure to do so. Listen, this will become the standard of care in jurisdictions across America.
So let me ask you about this, because I think there's a question of sort of standards and practices as well, because I was looking at some research from Brendan McQuaid. He's a professor at the State University of New York in Cortland, studies law enforcement and intelligence operations. And what he was worried about is he was talking about that, like, real criminal activity isn't going to be done on publicly facing social media posts anyway. And so he said it's bad criminal tradecraft to broadcast your stuff on social media. So he's concerned that ultimately, these tools will be used, geared towards more political policing. He was talking about. We saw that happen in Ferguson.
Well, I have evidence to the contrary right here in front of me. We had an alert through our alert system regarding some drug activity at a local theater where somebody was arranging for a drug deal. That was given to our drug control officers, and I'm sure they'll investigate it. So I have evidence to the contrary of that. And furthermore, there's research going on right now, funded by the European Union over at the Hebrew University. I was just over in Israel last week getting briefed on this. And what's becoming abundantly clear at preventing the lone actor terrorists and lone actor gunmen that act out at schools is being situationally aware on social media. Hmm. And so, it's known as the Prime Project out of the Hebrew University, and I'm anxious for them to complete their work, because I think it will be very informative for policymakers around the decision whether to employ social media alert systems or monitoring. But again, I want to be clear about the distinction between monitoring and alert.
Okay. Kate, I want to get a quick response from you. We've got a ton of people who want to have their say here, so go ahead.
Yeah, on the question of political surveillance, I mean, that quote you read is absolutely right. The Boston Police Department, unfortunately, cannot be trusted in this regard. A few years ago, my office published a report based on so-called intelligence reports that we had to sue the Boston Police Department to obtain. Those reports included information about completely peaceful activists who were protesting the Iraq War, including Code Pink, Veterans for Peace, a veterans group composed mostly of Vietnam veterans. These people have never been accused of a crime, and yet they were called so-called extremists in these intelligence files created by the Boston Police Department. These files might have been shared with the FBI. Internal BPD policy at this very moment does not require that intelligence officials believe someone is involved in criminal activity before they begin spying on them, collecting information about them, even sharing information with the FBI about them.
But the 2010 policy from the Boston Regional Intelligence,
The BRIC.
I want to be sure I get the acronym right. Boston Regional Intelligence
Center.
That's it. Their own policy says that the BRIC would not retain information about individuals or organizations solely based on religious, political, social views, or activities.
Aha. So you struck on the exact problem with that, which is solely, right? The phrase, the word in there, solely. I mean, you have to read these documents like a lawyer. And the word solely is a loophole the size of a barn door that you can drive an entire political surveillance program through. And that's exactly what we discovered when we sued the BPD.
All right, listeners, we're speaking. You just heard the voice of Cade Crockford. She's Director of Technology for the Liberty Program at the ACLU of Massachusetts. Oh, my goodness. Thank you for bearing with me in my inability to speak today. And Chief Fred Ryan, he's the Chief of Police in Arlington, Massachusetts. And we're talking about law enforcement and the use of monitoring on social media as a tool for 21st century policing. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK, and lots of folks have some questions, so let's turn to them. Alex is calling from Medford. You're on the air, Alex.
Hi, Magna. I just wanted to get into it real quick where a lot of people might think this is a privacy issue, but I don't see it as such because you're posting or, you know, creating content online for people to see, and if the police aren't monitoring it or aren't, you know, going through, it seems almost a waste to just, like, have criminals self-select themselves to say, hey, I'm doing an illegal activity, and I'm going to post about it online and not get caught. Seems like, you know, just as a bystander seems wrong.
Alex, thank you so much for your call. Let me just get a quick response here from Cade Crockford. I imagine a lot of people feel like Alex, and even, you know, Chief Ryan mentioned at the beginning, like, it's out there. Why shouldn't law enforcement be following it? And wouldn't it be a missed opportunity if they didn't?
Again, I want to be clear that the program that we're talking about that the BPD wants to buy is nothing like the program that the chief has described as operative in Arlington. It's an entirely different bag of tricks. And our concern here is that the internet is the new public square, right? I mean, you just said it. Tweet at us if you have a comment about this show. Maybe people are afraid to tweet at you what they really think because they fear that the Boston Police Department will be keeping information about them in some dossier that will be shared with Trump's FBI. This is not just a conjecture. Plenty of studies have shown that when people think they're being monitored by the government, they censor themselves. That is something that happens in authoritarian societies that should not happen in the United States. And I want to also be very clear that the ACLU is not saying that the Boston Police Department cannot look at Twitter. As Commissioner Evans has said repeatedly over the past month, they already do that. They already have social media monitoring programs. What we're talking about is opposition, which is not just from the ACLU, but hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, actually thousands, over 2,000 people have contacted their elected officials in the city about this, who think that this is an inappropriate use of funds and that the program goes way too far in terms of what the request for proposal describes. And thirdly, that the BPD has not been forthright with the public about exactly what it intends to do.
So let's take another call here. Nancy's calling from Framingham. You're on the air, Nancy.
Hello?
Hi, Nancy. What's your thought?
Yes, hi. This whole business about the BPD listening in basically on internet traffic or whatever, it creeps me out, entirely creeps me out. I think it is, as the woman was saying, authoritarian and very, very, very threatening. As I suggested, should somebody currently type after what happened in Berlin last week, which was sickening and dreadful and all that, for to type in the word Berlin by itself or Berlin in relation to Kaiser Wilhelm Memorial Church where this happened, would that person be suspect?
Well, Nancy, great question. Let me turn back to Chief Fred Ryan on that. I mean, she's asking, like, if you're reacting to the news and the news has to do with the terrorist attack, could the software scoop you up?
Well, again, this report that I have in front of me, it came in this morning, has about 10 alerts. 9 of them were deemed to be non-credible. And so, yes, there'll be non-credible harmful language that might come to the attention of law enforcement, but they're quickly deemed as just that, non-credible. But I got to go to bat for Boston PD here. They are recognized nationally and internationally for their community policing philosophy and the ability to build partnerships in the community, and they are the national model of community policing. And the inflammatory language like bag of tricks and entrapment is not helpful to the conversation.
I very much wish that Boston PD could have been here to respond directly.
Well, I'm happy to do that for them.
On their own behalf to the specifics that Cade Crockford and the ACLU of Massachusetts have been have been saying. And again, if they're listening right now, our offer is open for them to join us at this table.
Yeah, I would love to speak with them.
Any time. But point taken, Chief Ryan. I actually have another question for you, because one thing I was reading about was in departments that adopt whatever form of social media monitoring software that they do choose, that not all of them have, for example, published procedures and practices. For example, does Arlington sort of have a rule book on how it uses its software?
Yes, it's a policy statement like any other initiative within the department, and July 4th, 3 years ago. Somebody from Arlington was tweeting harmful language relative to firearms and shooting at the July 4th Esplanade. We were contacted by the Joint Terrorism Task Force. We were able to pay this person a visit and relieve him of his firearms.
And how long?
Quickly. And that was via social media. So these strategies are preventing violent crimes and preventing victimization. A lot of times we forget about victims of crimes here, and this is about preventing victimization.
How long do you retain the data that you gather through the software?
So we get daily PDF reports that are retained pursuant to the public records information, which is changing now. We just get updates. I think 3 years for stuff like that.
Three, okay.
But don't quote me on that. It's evolving law.
But you say it's in line with state rules on retention of information?
State public records retention.
Uh-huh. So we'll take a look at that a little bit later. I want to see if I can squeeze a couple more calls in here. Rebecca is calling from Falmouth. You're on the air, Rebecca.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just have a quick question about what the BPD is proposing. How does that differ from what every single internet marketing company does, where they track every keystroke you make, unless you opt out of your privacy, which is so difficult to find anywhere on any website? They track every keystroke you make.
Rebecca, thank you so much. Kate Crawford,
Rebecca,
you raised your hand
great
to answer that question.
And the answer is pretty straightforward. Marketing companies don't have the power to conduct violence against members of the public, nor do they have the power to arrest people and deprive them of their liberty. So, when the government, when law enforcement agencies, when intelligence agencies adopt these kinds of tools, they're not trying to sell you a pair of shoes.
Let's take another call. Rodney's calling from Roxbury. You're
just
on the air,
just trying to save
Rodney.
Your life, that's all.
Rodney, hello. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, what's your thought, Rodney?
I'm quite upset about the fact that it's garbage in, garbage out, unless you have high-quality people analyzing the data, and you have algorithms that have been debugged. Otherwise, it's going to cause a lot of problems like it has in other cities, especially in the social service area.
Rodney, thank you so much for your call. Chief Ryan, help us get some insight here. Rodney was worried basically about who's analyzing the data and how can you be sure that you get the best analysis out of it.
Yeah, and that's a great question. That's why when we went out into the marketplace to acquire the software, we were drawn to Social Sentinel. They provide their service to many colleges and universities across America, and they populate the search criteria and search algorithms along with a behavioral linguist who are up to speed on evolving language and evolving acronyms and so forth that help identify harmful language that's going out in publicly facing social media. Mm-hmm. Emphasis on publicly facing.
Well, we're down to our last couple seconds. Cade, last quick thought from you.
I just wanted to note that's a really important point, because algorithms, especially when they're sold by these private companies, are proprietary. So it's oftentimes impossible, if not extremely difficult and requiring a lawsuit, for members of the public and people such as your last caller, who presumably would be able to read such an algorithm to understand what its implications are for public safety and security and civil liberties, to do that. So this is, there's a big shroud of secrecy surrounding not just the way that law enforcement is implementing these tools, oftentimes like with respect to the BPD, but even what those tools actually are.
Well, just as a last note, again, I want to reiterate that we did reach out to the Boston Police Department today. They were unable to join us, but a BPD press spokesperson, Officer Rachel McGuire, did tell us that the BPD is still evaluating bids for its social media monitoring software. They say it's a long process. They couldn't give us more details. They have goals about specific dates that they would like to award a contract. But as far as there being a hard deadline, there isn't one. Again, that's from BPD press officer Rachel McGuire. Well, that's it for this conversation. And I want to say thank you to Chief Fred Ryan, Chief of Police in Arlington, Massachusetts. Thank you so very much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
And Cade Crockford, Director of the Technology for Liberty Program at the ACLU of Massachusetts. Thank you as well.
My pleasure. Thanks.
And listeners, no matter what you heard today, I really do encourage you to go online at radioboston.org and give us your comment about what you think about social media and 21st century policing. Or again, as always, you can send us your thoughts on Twitter or at Facebook. We're at Radio Boston. Back in a moment. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.